Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Y'all, well, he's coming in with some
fine. Blow, man.
That the Nets should win when it's just KD. Yes. And now Philly and Dwight Howard
because
put Philly
what,
over the
what
top.
What would you say? What would you say to the people who said Dirk did it? Who did Dirk have? Dirk had old-ass Sean Marion, old-ass Jason Kidd, raw-ass Tyson Chandler, and Jason Terry. And he beat the Heat by himself. So Kevin Durant can't.
But that was more of a testament to how bad your king is. Should not have lost that series.
Oh, it all just comes back to how crappy LeBron is.
Well, the way you defend him, it should every damn time.
I mean, LeBron. Who did LeBron have in that series? Did he have Kyrie? He did have Kyrie. I mean, he had Kyrie in that series against when he did beat the Warriors. But did he have Kevin Love too, or was Kevin Love out?
No, I think it was just Kyrie at that point. Yeah. I could be wrong.
I feel like
Love wasn't out there. So Kyrie is the one hitting the big shots.
Yeah. But he still had Kyrie though. So like,
but your point is that Dirk did it by himself. So KD should too.
Yes.
Give me a break.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
Why?
Again, this dude is the best offensive player the game right now. KD,
Dirk.
Fool.
Dirk.
And all of a sudden, he's supposed to do it all? Like, that's because you're crowning him best offensive player ever. You said some people said that. I said he's best offensive player in the game right now. And maybe the best player overall. Because you look at all of Giannis's faults, right? Kawhi right now is down 2-1 to Utah. Yes, it took him 7 games
Chris
versus
Paul
Dallas.
Might be the best player in the NBA right now, bro. Let's be honest.
Man, please.
He might.
What?
Still playing.
This dude's getting ridiculous. He's going off his rocker here.
Joel Embiid.
Yeah. The 76ers got this man drunk over here.
I like their roster a lot.
Yeah, they look good. They look like a champion, huh?
They might be.
And KD should beat Giannis.
Who are you afraid of?
And Middleton. And
who
Drew
are you
Holiday
afraid of right
himself.
Now? If you're the 76ers, like, who do you fear?
I don't fear anybody. That's a good Bucks team that's been together for a while. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, but dude, we know they can come apart at any moment.
This ain't Miami just trying
to
get it
together. They hit 11 threes in the first half yesterday. You know, what happens when that doesn't happen? Now, look, Chris Middleton played great yesterday. Like, he's kind of their pseudo point guard, and Giannis took over yesterday. When Kyrie goes out, you have
to change the whole complexion of the game.
Yeah, bro. So they were on their way. They got down in a big hole. Again, they hit 11 threes in the first half. You take that away, what are they going to look like? I mean, that to me is the real question. And their depth.
It's like saying Mike should go ahead and advance. Without Scottie, he should still advance because he's Michael Jordan.
Well, he should.
Because
he's the greatest of all time.
What he would do back then was get to the playoffs and lose when you didn't have Scottie as a top 50 player. It wasn't until then that you built up something around him that those teams were able to break through at that point.
Yeah.
Beat the Celtics, then beat the Pistons, all those teams. Like, that didn't happen
until you just don't hold your stars to any kind of accountability. Like, you just let them do whatever happens to them. If they don't have the best version of their roster, you just give them a complete and total pass.
No, man. It's a league that's full of teams that aren't one man shows. LeBron James showed you can't win it as a one man show.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to win an NBA championship as a one man show in today's league. There's too many.
I agree.
There's too many big twos and big threes.
But we can't.
The game has gone a separate
way. But KD
way,
can't
so
win
ridiculous.
Two more games at home.
Again, this ain't you're trying to beat the 8 seed. It's you're trying to beat the 3 seed Bucks, who have been at this point. Budenholzer's right on the edge. If they don't break through now, he's fired. This isn't your usual 3 seed that's, you know, you should be better than as the 2.
So you're saying Kevin.
Especially when you take away the 2 guys that have been a big part of this.
So let's just get this on the record, bro. You're saying that if Kyrie Irving and James Harden do not return in this series, then the Bucks are moving on.
I'm not saying they should, but to still think that the Nets are the favorite without those 2 the rest of the way in the 3 games, KD by himself. So basically it's a new team. Okay, for the most part. I realize all 3 of them weren't together for a large part of this season. I think it ended up being 8 regular season games, somewhere around there. Maybe it was 9-10, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But come on, you cannot expect KD the average.
If he's
dropped.
The best scorer of all time,
they're not even the odds-on favorite by themselves anymore to win the whole thing. What are we talking about here? Everything changed when Kyrie went down. Everything.
Yeah.
Them in Utah now, +300 to win the whole thing. And I'm not sure that the Nets should still be the favorite. the co-favorite.
It is. It does create sort of an interesting wrinkle right in the playoffs, because you would have thought if the Nets were healthy, it would have just been really a jaunt to the championship for them.
No, I mean, now you're asking guys like Blake Griffin,
who did not even come back yesterday,
Joe Harris. Right, you're asking those guys to step up into bigger roles, the roles that Harden and Kyrie used to fill, in terms of, okay, now we need you to do more than what you're doing. And at this point in their careers, I mean, Joe's capable of having a nice game, but just the next game he'll be just as off. And then Blake, you're asking him to be a Blake Griffin that was the Blake Griffin of years old. You're asking too much of those guys in this spot to step up and say, okay, KD, lead us with this supporting cast, pass the Bucks, you know, pass Philly, and on into the finals. Hopefully they can get back to some sort of semblance of healthy. The problem for them is that Kyrie thing, hit the side of his ankle touched the ground. And when those, I mean, that looks serious enough. I know he walked off, but you're not going to get him anywhere near 90, 100%.
Yeah. Anyway, that's you have the Jazz Clippers tonight. Hopefully, Mike Conley out. Do we know that for sure? He has obviously not played in this series. You hate that for him
today.
You know, to finally get to this point and have an opportunity to play once again in the Western Conference Finals and be limited and not even playing because the hamstring, that's pretty damn brutal. So that'll happen. Then, of course, the 76ers will be one step closer to sending the Hawks on their merry way. This is going to be a devastating night for Jason. But
I hope this doesn't, you know, hamper Embiid down the line. I know it's going to be a hell of a summer.
Yes.
You know, nothing but to stay off that thing, I guess, if it's really, truly torn.
Yes. All right, we will come back. There's an informative story that I read today from The Athletic about Luka Doncic and the front office in Dallas. And look, we in Memphis have a star in Ja Morant, and I think this is the kind of a story that can really cast a light on how important it is to make sure that everybody in that building is on the same accord, which is, and it should be, keep Ja Morant happy, because it's not necessarily happening in Dallas. Get into this when we come back. Jason and John, 97 FM, ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Now, it's the Rundown, presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
It's a really fascinating story up The Athletic about the Dallas Mavericks and sort of Luka Doncic's relationship with the front office. And this is always something when you have a superstar at the face of your franchise, this is something that it's always going to be relevant. It was relevant for Anthony Davis in New Orleans, right? And he ended up leaving. It was relevant for Milwaukee Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo. And look,
they kept him.
Yep, they kept him. And you know, one day it will loom large for one Ja Morant here in Memphis, his relationship with the Grizzlies front office. Now, of course, money always plays a factor, and when you're the team that drafted the player, you're always going to have the opportunity to offer more. But sometimes guys are willing to take less, especially if they don't have a good relationship with the front office. Well, this is relevant because there's a story up about Luka's relationship with a shadow general manager, is what the way they sort of describe this guy. His name is Haralambos Voulgaris, and I know him because, you know, back in the day, he used to play on TV poker. He used to be like a
I did not know.
I wouldn't call him a pro poker player, but he was like a well-known like gambling dude. Yeah, that's what he did. Like he was just a gambler. And he would play in these, you know, nosebleed poker games that were televised on the Game Show Network and all that. And that's how I was sort of first introduced to him. Well, now he's making decisions for the Dallas Mavericks. Which, you know, I could see, you know, like poker players, like they're pretty good at making decisions most of the time. That's what you have to do when you play cards, Jason. You know that better than anybody. So he is obviously doing that for the Dallas Mavericks. And there was an interaction that they write about where one day during the season, you know, he tried to give this is the Saturday. He tried to give Doncic some advice, like during the game, said, calm down, like in the middle of a play or something. And Doncic looked right back at him and said, don't effing tell me to calm down. That's all. It's usually like when you tell somebody to calm down and they're heated, like that's like usually the worst thing you can tell them. Anyway, it sounds as though, you know, there is a bad relationship between Luka and this shadow general manager. Now, Luka's going to sign the Supermax extension because it's $200 million over 5 seasons. You know, that he can do that after his rookie contract expires next summer. He would be an absolute fool not to sign that, right? I mean, it's $200 million freaking dollars. You're going to sign it. But, and by the way, Ja Morant's going to do that for the Grizzlies. But what about after? You know what I'm saying? What about, you know, in that fourth year, that fifth year when Luka's, you know, 28 years old and he's, you know, still in the prime of his career, in this case he'd be 27. You know, what about that? What about that time? And the reason why this applies to the Grizzlies is because, you know, you don't want to be in a situation with your franchise player where he has beef with somebody in the front office, you know, because and look, this guy is, there's also other things that he's done apparently in the draft room in 2020. He did not consult the scouts at all and in fact drafted players that they objected to, right? Like he heard them object to it and he still drafted them. Josh Green and Tyrell Terry is who they ended up drafting in 2020. I don't think either of those guys played any significant role for the Mavs at all this past year. And nothing's going to happen right now, right? Nothing's going to happen with Luka and the Mavericks right now. In fact, they go on to say that he has a pretty healthy relationship with the organization at large. But there are some people inside the building that believe that it's going to get ugly at some point with Luka. Maybe not now, maybe not tomorrow, but in 3 years, 4 years. Especially, right, if you don't make real strides in the playoffs, if you don't start winning series. And I just sort of, you know, every story like this you read, especially, you know, Dallas is a bigger market, but it's not an LA, it's not a New York, it's not a, you know, a situation like that. You always have to be on your P's and Q's and on top of your game when you are a franchise like the Memphis Grizzlies. You got to make sure that everybody in your front office is on the same accord. Let's do everything we can to make, let's not like talk back to Ja, you know, and not to make him out to be God, but like he is clearly a superstar in this league, and you have to make your superstars happy. The Mavericks, in some ways, are not doing that. Now, the money is going to keep him there.
Right.
But again, our whole thing is not about the opportunity to sign the Supermax. Ja's going to do that. It's what about when Ja's 27 years old, 28 years old, which comes a lot faster than you think. Are you going to have enough in place infrastructurally to keep him here? That's going to be the question for Dallas, and it's going to be the question for the Grizzlies.
I've often told myself that, you know, what's going to matter more than anything is what you got around him and how big you're winning. Let's be real, because the money is one thing. You max out early, sure, but at some point that becomes the goal. Whether it's joining a big three or a big two in a bigger market, whatever else,
yep.
That's always the thing it was for Anthony Davis. I've always wondered and told myself, though, that the one thing I feel like Memphis does have going for it, in terms of if you're trying to appeal to him to, hey, stay, we're going to put everything around you. Again, you better have some winning with that, because you don't bring that to the table, he's not going to listen to you anyway, but it's that he's a small-town dude.
Yep.
Is that he comes from that. Right, he comes from humble roots. That's it. It's sort of why we've talked about it. It feels like he's so comfortable here, right? Not being in the limelight, coming up, having to earn that. That this idea, right, that the first chance he gets, he's going to jump out to L.A. You tell yourself, oh no. He's small town guy. He's, you know, satisfied with that because that's what he came from. But let's be real. You're almost, it sounds like you're trying to talk yourself into it, because what's going to matter more than that, again, is what's around him. Those opportunities to leave are always going to be there.
Yep.
But if you don't have that that team around him that he feels he can win at a high level, he's going to be gone. And I just compare it to that AD situation. So small town, big town, background, all that, it won't matter if you don't have the right things around him.
It's true.
And that's the bottom line. So as much as I'd love to believe, small town job going to stay in small town Memphis forever, right? And it worked for the Bucks and Giannis, and they kept him happy. No, it's going to be more about what you got around him. And that's going to be the trump card, the end-all be-all.
Yeah, you're right.
Because if you got some scrubs around him, he's out of here. Doesn't matter how much he loves Memphis, loved the time here, grew up here, all that stuff. It's not going to matter. So you better have, you know, at least if it's not the semblance of a plan, right, in terms of that he can see and it's happening on the court for him, then you really got no chance no matter where he's from.
And that's you're right. More so than a relationship with one
with a front office person or whatever else.
This guy basically is doing what Kleiman was doing for the Grizzlies before Kleiman was named in that capacity, right? Like everybody sort of acknowledges that Kleiman was the driving force behind the Gasol deal for Jonas.
Yes,
like,
that's where it switched over.
Kind of the same deal here with Vulgaris. You're right. What matters more than anything else is not how you feel about a certain member of the front office. It is what do you have around me? Because look, Aaron Rodgers can't stand your man up there in Green Bay, right?
Gudenkunst.
Gudenkunst. But if he had, you know, Julio Jones today, it really wouldn't matter. He wouldn't care about him personally. He would just say, you know what, I've got what I need here on the field, and the rest doesn't matter to me. But he doesn't feel like he has enough on the field, and so that's why he can't stand, you know, the GM, and they also, of course, traded out to get Jordan Love.
But he does have enough on the field.
Well, that's what you say. That's what you would
think. That's ridiculous.
I mean, I feel like every show we have done since January,
I'm not bringing
you're
going to
bring up that damn run.
Let's not act like they weren't in that game and couldn't have won it.
Can we do a day on this show without you bringing up that run? What should have been?
I'm not going to talk about it. What I wanted, if you're going to put the bow on this, I want one thing because I want to talk to you and one of our Twitter followers before we get to Bobby Marks.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, I'm done. For
y'all, all y'all, KD better win the whole thing.
Moral of the story, just keep your players happy.
Yeah.
Next story.
Easier said than done.
True.
Here's the deal. Frank Schwab over at Yahoo saying the same things I've been telling y'all.
Frank Schwab.
All after. Yes, Frank Schwab over at Yahoo is writing about how the Nets' odds have changed after the Game 4 loss. Okay? What I've been telling you whole first hour, but you got folks tweeting at me that, John's right, KD should win the whole thing.
He should just win the series.
Okay, Nets are so good they could lose a world-class player like Harden. I'm reading from the Yahoo column he's got up. A minute into Game 1 against a good Bucks team and still flirt with beating them by 50 in Game 2. But losing a second world-class player, it's hard for any team to overcome that. Irvin turned his ankle. We know all that. Here's what y'all need to know. Okay? I think this is from my man King Trey, too, sitting up here agreeing with you on this point.
Thank you,
the
Trey.
The Bucks are now minus 125 to win the series. You get what that means?
That's the favorite. They're the favorite.
The Nets, the Bucks.
Okay.
The Bucks, yes. Not the Nets.
Yeah, but
the
it's
Bucks.
Not big favorites.
This is my part of the segment. The Nets NBA Finals odds move from plus 100 to plus 260 at BetMGM. Keep in mind, last Thursday night, with 12 seconds left, the Nets led Game 3 on the verge of going up 3-0 in that series. Had Drew Holiday missed that go-ahead layup, you'd be looking at something a lot different. But you are not. They are 2.5-point underdogs in Game 5 at home. The Nets are no longer the favorite to win this series. But we're sitting up here saying the whole world should still expect them to get through with just KD?
Yes.
So no. Now yes. You're going against Vegas, you're going against the money, and it's ridiculous. Forget Vegas and the money, because sometimes they're wrong. Occasionally, very, very occasionally, they are wrong. My point is the point I've made the whole first hour, is this series changed when Kyrie went down. And yes, those guys haven't been ruled out for Game 5, but those injuries to those guys, for Harden, it's the hamstring. For Kyrie, it's an ankle that had you on crutches afterwards, are big enough to tilt this series the other way, even with the Nets still playing, two out of the final three games at home. They are 2.5-point underdogs in Game 5 at home, and now Bucks minus 125 to win this series. Everything changed. Okay, so expecting KD to pull through this thing is absolutely, you know, you can do that if you want to, but it ain't right. It ain't fair. The Bucks are now the favorite.
You want to do a show with Frank Schwab, man? Is that what you want?
Frank Schwab ain't doing nothing but telling you the Vegas odds now, which you seem to not give a damn about now. KD should still be the favorite. The Nets should be minus 125. No, not with that supporting cast and not against this Bucks team.
What's wrong with
Bucks now the favorite?
What's wrong with his supporting cast, man? Y'all weren't saying that about LeBron.
It ain't what Milwaukee has got, John. I just wanted to set the record straight. There's folks out here documenting this stuff in columns that just came out this hour saying the exact same thing now document that I was telling you the whole first
hour.
Well,
we'll talk to Bobby Marks about this, get his thoughts on what we should expect from the Brooklyn Nets, at least to win this series, right? I mean, can we expect them? Should we expect them to win this series? Vegas, of course, says no.
Not with Bruce Brown.
We will get into your jihad against Bruce Brown is uncalled for. He's just doing his best out there, man. He really is. We'll get into all of that with Bobby Marks when we come back. Jason and John, 92.5 ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Bobby Marks is a front office insider for ESPN. Got a lot to get to with him. Let's make him the giant interview.
Now, it's the giant interview presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
How quickly the playoffs can change, huh, Bobby?
Oh, man. Well, it's a roller coaster, right? I mean, every game is kind of like its own little mini series. And, you know, Brooklyn was the toast of the town after game two, and they basically beat that Milwaukee team by 50 points. And, you know, I think it shows you that when you have an opportunity to close a team out and go up 3-0, like they did Thursday night, you know, up three down the stretch, you better take advantage of it, because how things would be different right now if this series was 3-1 and, you know, maybe have a little bit more time to, you know, rest Irving or Harden. You can just rely on, you know, knowing that at the minimum you'll have a game seven. But yeah, now you go home, and I mean, I'd be surprised if we see both players out there. I mean, I'm not counting on Harden and Irving to be on the court when we get a game five. And you know, now the pressure, you know, it falls on Durant to kind of lead this team and for these role players in Brooklyn.
You know, Steve Nash was, of course, asked about James Harden, who we have not yet seen in this series, and he said, "I don't want him to be rushed back." I mean, you know how these conversations go, though. I mean, it's tied at two apiece, and Kyrie certainly does not look like he's going to play, like you mentioned. So, would there be, in your opinion, maybe publicly, but behind the scenes, are you like, hey, James, like, can you go? How does that sort of go?
Yeah, not with a hamstring. I never thought we would see James Harden in this series after game one. I just thought, just because it was something that he dealt with all year, or once he got hurt, it had him miss, you know, basically a good portion towards the end of the regular season. Hamstrings are tricky. I mean, putting a guy out there with a you know, at 70% just to get through a Milwaukee series and then maybe lose them for a conference finals. I mean, it's counterproductive. I mean, I think it's different if you had a shoulder or, you know, with Embiid dealing with with this meniscus and stuff. It's a little bit different. But as I said, hamstring. I mean, you rely on the player. You rely on your. You know, all these teams have these super duper medical staffs now that they can that are basically dictating to the front offices as far as who plays and who doesn't. And that's probably what's going to happen. You put them through some type of practice, I guess, you know, over the next couple days, if he's going to be ruled out for game five and they get down 3-2, I think, you know, that Wednesday would probably determine it. And you kind of go from there. But this has kind of been a microcosm of their whole year in Brooklyn, right? I mean, it's all about injuries. I mean, like, we can talk about how great on paper and how they looked in game one and two and the Boston series and big three and all that stuff. It don't matter. I mean, it does not matter when it gets to surviving and advancing. And as I said, like, what looks good on paper is going to be the team that is the healthiest right. when we get to a conference finals or to an NBA finals.
So it sounds like you don't think they've got enough of a supporting cast to get past a Bucks team at this point, even with two out of the three at home, right? That does now believe, Bobby. They look like they do believe. I mean, you think that Bucks now that it shifts and they become the favorite with three games to go?
I have such doubt. I'm actually writing their article right now.
So.
That's what I'm doing right now. And because I look at how P.J. Tucker has been able to guard Durant, I mean, you're not going to take Kevin out of the game. I mean, he'll come up with your – I mean, if Kevin comes with 35, okay, now who – what are we getting from everyone else?
Right.
Right? Like who – you know, what are we getting from Joe Harris and Bruce Brown and, you know, Blake Griffin? I mean, Blake will have to revert back to, you know, 2013-14 version of Blake. Like – the role players are great when Kyrie's out there.
Exactly.
And you have that second guy. But, man, when you have you're asking these guys to give you 80 points, that is going to be that's going to be a hard ask. But we'll see. I mean, you go home. The benefit is that, you know, you do have your home crowd to try to get you through. And we'll see if Milwaukee gets comfortable. I think that's going to be the big thing for me. Do they get comfortable where those shots – in game one and two and what we saw in the second half in game three, the Giannis threes relying on, you know, quick shots into the clock, if they kind of revert back to that.
Now that series was likely over. Phoenix was in control before Jokic gets the flagrant two, but what did you think of the call, Bobby?
Yeah, I think it was questionable at best. I understand him swinging, you know, the swinging motion kind of, you know, goes from a one to a two here. You know, I think they were down eight when it happened. You know, you never want to see that. And you're relying on, you know, Seacaucus to make, you know, basically to make that call here. But yeah, I thought when they boarded the planes to fly to for Denver for game three, that it was over then. So I just thought Phoenix was the better team. And I think what it shows you was where, you know, Portland, you know, missed a golden opportunity to beat this Denver team just because, you know, their guards were decimated. Porter Jr. had a little bit of a tweak to that back here. And Phoenix is this Phoenix team is really, really good.
If you're the 76ers today, Bobby, are you reinvigorated by what you're seeing in the other series? Are you feeling like, why not us? Because I think previously, like you said, like Brooklyn, it was just sort of a foregone conclusion that, you know, if they have everybody or at least just two of them, right, then they're probably going to represent the East in the finals. If you're the 76ers, though, and Joel is playing the way he's playing, are you re-energized and reinvigorated by what happened yesterday?
You should. I mean, when the Brooklyn-Milwaukee series started, I thought that whoever won that series would be the team representing the East in the NBA finals, and I'm not quite sure now, based off, you know, certainly the Brooklyn injuries, and I just don't like what I've seen in Milwaukee. I think that offense can go south awfully quick. You don't have home court, so you're going to have to go into Philly and try to steal a game here. I think, you know, a Simmons on Giannis matchup could be really interesting here. If Embiid is playing like he is, I certainly give them an advantage here. You know, they stole a game on the road in Atlanta. Now they're the favorite to get out of that series here. But it's another thing, like, what does that team look like when the conference final starts. You have already lost Danny Green. Hopefully nobody else goes down over the next, you know, two or three games here.
I want to go back to Phoenix with you, Bobby, on this player option that Chris Paul's got. What's got to happen for him not to pick that up and be back with his team that's doing so much this year?
Yeah, I'm not going to say guaranteed, but when you advance in the playoffs, you hold a lot of leverage, mm-hmm. as the player does. And I think for Chris's perspective is that, you know, it's right around $44.7 million here. The only way he's not back is if ownership just kind of draws a line in the sand. And I think what you'll probably see is probably Chris opt into that number and then probably add it two more years. There are probably, you know, somewhere around $60 million, $30 million piece, maybe even a little bit more. But, yeah, that's because I wrote their article whenever they're done playing, and I said, you know, Chris has made like $350 million in his career. And you get to a point now where it's like quality of life and the ability to win. And I think he has both those right now in Phoenix.
Well, yeah, we're talking to Bobby Marks, NBA front office insider for ESPN. Bobby, I'm sure you've seen the story about Luka and the quote unquote shadow GM Haralambos Bulgaris, who, like, I was making the point on the show, like, I know him because I used to watch a lot of poker shows, and like, he was like, he was one of the guys like on the table, and now apparently he's running the Mavs. Like, what the hell kind of world are we living in? Anyway, how much of a concern would that be? Should that be to the Mavs that, you know, that Luka and this guy who's making decisions for the franchise appear to be at odds? Is it overblown or should there be genuine concern?
I just think we live in a day and age when, and I know Luka's been upfront. I think he kind of winked last week when I asked him about that extension, which could be about $201 million, and the likely is that he's going to sign it. I just think Dallas cannot rest easy once he signs it, because we have lived in a day and age where contracts are meant to be broken. I mean, Luka waking up one morning saying, you know what, I don't want to play in Dallas, or Zion waking up and saying, I don't want to play in Dallas, Damian Lillard in Portland, means a lot. And once that happens, you know, the horse is already out of the barn. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no, you know, patching up that relationship here. So I think if I'm Dallas, I'm my focus is in how do we turn a team that's lost in the first round 2 years in a row to a team that can compete with, you know, Phoenix and Utah and some of these other teams in the top four, top five in the Western Conference here. That's my big goal. But yeah, I mean, it's a player empowerment league, and the goal is to cater to your franchise level players and put them in the best situation to win. And certainly something to watch as it moves forward, because that's another team that has a lot of, you know, big decisions this offseason.
Could this be instructive to, you know, because you mentioned Dame and you mentioned Zion, and I was sort of waiting on you to mention Ja, but I mean, like, could it be instructive for the Grizzlies, who right now, right, are in a great place, because they got a game off the Utah Jazz, they made the playoffs in Ja's second year, he did some historic things, like, things are great kumbaya right now, but we know how quickly that can change. So is this a story that could be instructive for the Grizzlies in terms of, you better keep your foot on the pedal, because the minute that you let up, you know, these types of things can happen?
Yeah, I mean, it's a blueprint. I mean, like, what happens is that you get to a point where we all want to say, like, what's next, right? Like, what is next? How do you get to that next level? And that's the hardest step. That's the hardest step from a team building roster, you know, putting a roster together. Is it, do you have faith with what you have, or do you have to go out and look for something else? Do you have to do what Utah did and go out and get Mike, you know, in that trade? And, you know, they're up 2-1 without him right now, but those are the, you know, that's what's going to happen probably in Memphis, unless this roster is good enough to get you into the top four. And it quite possibly could be, but that's, you know, we live in a, you know, for front office standpoint, we just live in that world where you're constantly trying to improve. And I think when you rest on your laurels that, hey, we made it to the, we beat Golden State on the road, we made it to the first round and lost in five to Utah, we're content as is, I think that's kind of when you get in trouble and you miss out on your window.
And then Bobby, I gotta ask you about going back to Philly and that Hawks series with Embiid, who has a torn meniscus, at least those are the reports, and he's averaging 35 and 10 on that torn meniscus. As a front office guy, and you're in Philly, is that a deal where you're literally holding your breath every time he comes down? How often are you talking to doctors and talking to him? Do you look at it as a situation? Well, now we're up. You know, we feel like we've got control. Can we steal a game and rest you? How would you be approaching such a large investment as Joel Embiid, who's playing well right now on this torn meniscus?
Yeah, I mean, he came down, I think, in game, I think the last game, awkward, and, you know, looked like he was kind of limping up court here, and I think you just play game by game. I think it's, you know, if something happens tonight in game four, and maybe they're down in the third quarter, you know, at a big margin, you know, do you just basically rest him for game five when you go back home here? And I think Embiid's going to be interesting because, you know, him earning it all NBA is going to be supermax. So that's like another guy, like, man, you're going to be committing probably $190 million for the next 4 years to Embiid, who's got a, you know, has had a history. But what are your options? You know, you don't have many options there when it comes to him. But, yeah, you're relying on your doctors. I mean, I think they're probably at a point where they feel like he can't hurt it anymore than kind of where he is.
Yeah.
But you do wait, and, you know, you kind of do it on a game-by-game basis.
I mean, a couple more, Bobby, and our Memphis Tiger basketball fans are going to be listening here closely. You know, Woj reported last week that Penny Hardaway's name has come up in NBA circles and that teams are doing due diligence on him and that he's going to get offers to interview for NBA jobs. What from people that you talk to, what sort of is his reputation around the league as a potential future coach there?
Yeah, I mean, the league and nowadays it's all about relationship building, right?
Yep.
If you're going to coach or be a head coach in this league, 65 to 70% is relationship building. Players coach, not a guy that players can walk all over, but putting players in the best position to succeed. Having continual dialogue. I think that's probably what went wrong in Indiana with Nate Bjorkgren, who's a good coach. But as I said, you can draw all the X's, O's, and all you want. But if you can't get, build a relationship within that locker room, you've got no chance here. And I think it'll be interesting for Penny if teams are looking at, you know, if they do interview him for something down the road 4 or 5 years from now and see kind of, you know, just lay that foundation out. Or If there's a situation where maybe it's Orlando where they feel like, hey, we're rebuilding, we need player development. He's probably one of the best at it. He's got ties to that organization. Let's see if we meet with him if it makes sense.
And then one more thing here locally. I reported last week that Penny, as he's still trying to figure out what he's doing at Memphis, he has targeted Larry Brown to come in and be an assistant coach for him. Now, he wanted this 3 years ago, but the AD at the time said, I ain't going to be the guy that hires Larry Brown. New regime now, and it sounds like it'll ultimately happen. What do you make of that, and what do you think Larry, you know, at 80, would be able to come in and bring to Penny and this college basketball program?
I just think, you know, the more information you can have and lean on somebody that's been around and has seen everything, right? He saw it when he was at Kansas and UCLA, and he saw it in the pros at Indiana and in Philadelphia, SMU, you know, certainly college-wise and stuff. So he basically has, you know, a sponge of information that Penny can lean on as far as for another resource there. I mean, I think Coach Brown going on the road recruiting? I don't, you know, but I think just to have another voice in house that has so much experience, I think, you know, those type of people are, those type of people are valuable.
Bobby, man, great stuff as always.
Thank
we
you so
appreciate
much, Bobby.
The time, man.
Week.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep. He is Bobby Marks, NBA front office insider for ESPN. And, you know, I initially had heard that Larry was going to be a little bit later down the road. Heard over the weekend that it could be wrapped up here in the next couple of weeks, actually. That he could start at Memphis in the next couple of weeks. So That kind of changed in terms of the timeline expectation. That shifted up a little bit. We shall see. But
he got a lot of. I mean, he got a lot of positions to fill.
He does have a lot of positions.
We know he's comfortable operating with just
video,
one assistant,
another assistant coach,
strength coach, right?
Strength coach,
right.
Absolutely. I mean, GAs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are a little bit less. But GAs look.
No,
I
but
mean,
they've moved on too, right?
Yeah, I mean, Mardrakis is now at.
Is he with Tony?
He's up there with Tony. He's about to be on the road for them and everything. And
good for him. Good for him.
I mean,
former Arkansas. Player.
GAs actually can play a role because a lot of the times they're closer to the players in age than anybody else around the team. So they trust them, and you know, we've seen James Alford once upon a time. Wasn't he a GA?
I thought they had created a spot for
they
him.
Might have,
it might have. It might have been on a GA. I know
right.
It was. He wasn't getting. I mean, GAs don't get anything, do they?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah,
no,
now Alford just wasn't. He was making money, but it wasn't a ton.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
but
so,
he was sort of their put out fires guy, and you use a guy that can relate to the players.
Yeah.
Sort
GAs
can come in for you.
They can play important roles. So these are all things you have to do if you're Penny Hardaway and check off on your list. But yeah, that is the sort of latest I heard on Larry Brown that it could be sooner rather than later in terms of making that official.
I saw the videos, and I think you had mentioned this to me off. I think it was off air, but I just saw the videos this weekend. Looks like he's had them for a while. Like Quentin Grimes is in there working out with him, getting ready for the NBA.
Yeah, Quentin Grimes is.
Are there some other ones too that Penny's got in there?
I'm blanking on the name. Quentin Grimes is rep by Travis King.
Yeah.
So he's
been in there working.
Penny's working.
Penny's
out
like working him out.
Yeah,
talking about this relationship thing that Bobby was just talking about. Like we said,
yep.
You know, one of the attractive things about Penny is his relationships with these guys.
Yeah.
Now, right now, Grimes, what a second round pick, if that. But he is working guys out, helping guys work out here before the draft, sort of like you did with RJ.
There's a ton of guys working out in Memphis for the draft. You got Javonte Smart's working out in Memphis. Jeremiah Tillman, Aaron Henry from Michigan State. You know, all these guys are living in Memphis and working out. I mean, Memphis is still.
How about that? Grimes get done in Houston, see an opportunity to get better with Penny Hardaway here.
I mean, it's a real.
By Travis King, you come to Memphis.
RJ Hampton last year.
And get polished off for
Quentin
for the
Grimes
NBA.
This year. You know, I mean, that, you know, Penny's really starting to sort of build a reputation for that.
Ain't
and
he?
Penny.
Is
and,
he? Yes, he is.
And did you see that story from Gavoni? Penny is going to be this pro day that's coming up. The pro day at the Chicago Combine. Penny is doing those drills. Penny's going to go up to Chicago and do those drills along with Chris Beard, Musselman. Mike Miller is going to be up there. Drew Hanlon, John Lucas
III. How about
that? Yeah. So, again, we talk about that reputation of player developer. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what – and that's exposure. It's not like Mike Krzyzewski USA basketball exposure. Like, you're not going to get it.
He's just planting the seeds, though, these relationships he's got with all these
But it's
guys.
Like, yo, I'm going to be up at the Combine. I'm going to be building these relationships with these GMs. You know, if that's what he wants to do, you know, this is the stuff that pays dividends.
And prospects that you recruit see you involved with that, and they say,
hell
"Oh,
yeah,
wow, he's big time."
Yeah, I mean, you know? If you're a top 20, top 30 kid right now, and you're considering the University of Memphis,
have you seen the workout videos for Grimes? Like they look like music videos. You know what I'm saying? Like they're well done and all that. It seems like it's almost like a recruiting pitch.
Oh yeah, for sure.
In many ways, it works for you that way too.
Yeah, it does. So that's the latest. That I'm hearing in terms of what Memphis basketball is doing.
Come on down, Larry.
Busy
come
as
on
always.
Down a little early if you want to.
All right, we will come back. Jason Fitz going to join us at 1:25. We got to give out some respect burgers and
a
disrespect dog. That is what we do here on the show. We'll do that at 1:00. Stick around, Jason and John. 92.5 ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So we actually set a record. We set a record for the longest
Cap or no cap?
Yeah, in the history of the world, I think. Let's send that into Guinness, Brad, because I think we do hold the
record. I liked it. It was an enjoyable segment.
We hit everything. We had a lot of baseball people.
It was so long. It was so long that I had to actually cut.
Do you think it was too long?
Some other selection. I think Jason just kind of rambled a little bit, but that's fine.
You rambled about KD earlier.
One other thing that you had in here that I do think we should have mentioned, because it is the rare pop culture movie of the current era opinion that you have. Am I wrong or right?
Man, all you do is give shots. You just send shots over this way.
It's not a shot.
That's really your shtick.
It's really
now.
Not a shot.
Yeah, it is.
You're an 80s, 90s movies guy. You're not a 2000 and above guy.
I think old Goalie got tired of Greenberg and the shots there after a while. You know what I'm saying?
You're not that guy,
like,
pal.
After a while, it's like we don't even hang out off the air. Yeah. What do you mean we don't have to be friends? Like, those guys weren't even friends at the end.
No.
That's what when you beat a man
this
down
is set in
year
love.
After year.
Whip.
Exactly,
this
BC.
This is set in love.
I think you can feel it up in here.
Are you a contemporary movies guy?
Who just told you? Contemporary movies or shows, whatever. Who told you about the Upshaws, fool?
Oh, yeah.
That's brand new, wasn't it?
Yeah, and you got a tweet on
that. So, yeah, I did.
So,
and I know it shocked you because it was from a white man.
But
you said Jason's only talking to the black. This is like BET radio right now.
Yeah.
He's only talking about this doesn't apply to me.
Yeah.
Man, white man sent you a note, said Upshaws was fantastic.
But you can't get no like from Gladys Knight. Or whoever
man,
it was.
Just move on, because that's Kim Fields.
Kim Fields, my bad.
Man said Gladys Knight.
My apologies.
Now, that was offensive.
My apologies.
Think about that.
I apologize.
Come on, bro.
I mean, you know where my heart is.
Not even the same generation.
You know where my heart is.
I said Gladys Knight. What is your next shot?
Well, here.
Because we can all feel it coming.
Here is the cap or no cap that I had to cut. Game of Thrones is HBO's best series ever. Cap or no cap? Now, I don't know why.
No.
I don't know why this was relevant. Why was this relevant?
Because you do things, funny things you don't think you necessarily will as a husband because your wife does them. She had gone back because we were never big Game of Thrones people, and we started Game of Thrones. And I'm like, there's like 7-8 seasons of that mess, and there's dragons and all this kind of stuff. That ain't my thing. But then you get, you sit there for 5 minutes. And it becomes 10 minutes, and you get sucked into that mess, okay? And I've been watching it now, and John, I'll tell you, I'm on season 7,
okay.
Episode 3. I have stuck to this thing.
How many
Daenerys
seasons are there?
And all that. Old Smooth coming to the party late, yes.
Yes, okay.
2021.
That happens.
But there's 8 seasons, because I've studied this now. Yes, man, it's unbelievable. I've been all up in it. This weekend, between putting together an IKEA desk, I was binging on it some more.
Okay.
And so it led me to the question that didn't make our cap or no cap cut. Like, you cut it off.
Well, is
it the best HBO-produced series ever?
Now, you're talking about...
Now I realize I'm talking...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.